Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to the only radio that matters. BBS Talk Radio. You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. Only on BBS Talk Radio.
Only on BBS Talk Radio. That's right, Dr. Michelle. Good morning. Your friendly psychologist. See, that's the way I always say it. I hope you're having a great day today. It's a beautiful day here in Southern California. Right. Have to say that because it's going to be in the 90s. So I've been talking about all you people living around the country, freezing your booties off. Where I live today, it's going to be 100 degrees. Isn't that nice? Gives me an excuse to get on those summer dresses and feel good. Well, howdy, everybody. It's time for On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. Again, your friendly psychologist. That's me. And if you want to give me a call, contribute to what we're talking about today. Lots of stuff. I've got so much cool stuff, and I'm responding to a lot of emails. People have been asking me questions about help. Dear Dr. Michelle, help! I'm in a really bad relationship. And things like that. So we're going to be talking about that. And also coming up, I'm going to answer, what is her name? Stacy's question, why do women find men who treat them badly? We'll talk about that too. That's a good one. I got a little answer for you there, girl. Also some of the latest psychological news and whatever. So you can call me, 818-602-4498. That's the number here, live. And or you can find me on the web. It's drmichelletherapy.com. Dr. Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, therapy.com. That's me. And you'll find out more about me and what I'm about and what's going on. Oh, also, let me do my famous disclaimer. We do not have a therapeutic relationship, you and I, listeners. This is merely for information, suggestions, possibly entertainment. You be the judge. Love to hear from you. If you log on to my website, you can also contact me at my email address, which is docmichelle@aol.com. That's D-O-C, Michelle, with two L's, at AOL.com. And I'd love to hear from you. Come on down, as I always say. Of course, the big story here in California, Supreme Court has upheld gay marriages. So, first thing, Ellen DeGeneres says, I'm going to marry Portia, her longtime partner. Which is fine. It's cool with me. And they're asking Obama and Hillary and McCain about this. And they're going, no comment. You see, this is a real touchy issue around the country with everybody. Nobody wants to really commit. But I think Obama and Hillary and McCain, for that matter, are all into the civil unions, which are okay. Civil unions between same-sex partners. Well, now here in California, you can get married if you're a same-sex partner. So I say fine. You know, I've been getting some emails from folks saying, what do you think? This is terrible. A lot of very religious people write me and think it's immoral. And that's your choice and that's your religious belief. And that's okay. That's fine. I per se think that people who are in a committed, loving relationship are okay to get married. If they've been sharing the same place for a long time, they're paying taxes, they're contributing to the system, they are able to adopt children and care for them, so maybe they should get the same financial cuts as other people, straight people, if you please. So what else? You know, somebody else brought up, the big complaint that now all these attorneys are like licking their lips. They're so excited because they're going, hey, you know what this means? Hundreds of thousands of gay people are now going to get married here in California. And within a couple of years, they're going to get divorced. So the divorce attorneys are just salivating. They're going, yeah, baby, come on down. More business. It is what it is. You know, if you're going to get married, some people get divorced. 50% of the population gets divorced. They end up in divorce court. That's just the way it is. You know, things happen. If you've been divorced before, you know. You thought it was great at the beginning and you did it for certain reasons. And then you regret it because real life issues come up and you haven't dealt with your own issues. And you have to get those done. And you depend on somebody else to make you who you are. Because you can't fulfill your own needs as to who you are. And you're wondering why you have such bad relationships. Or you choose somebody who's abusive. you know, and you're just, you go the victim role for a long time. No, you just, you know what? It happens. We make poor choices sometimes and we move on. Divorce is really not a pretty thing, too, when you have children. It's very not pretty at all. It's not good for the children. I'm always for trying not to get a divorce and trying to keep it together. But if there's a lot of abuse in the home, I am possibly for getting a divorce. But I'm kind of going off the subject here. So I'm just saying that the big discussion here on all the local talk radio stations is that marriage among same-sex couples is now legal here in California. And, you know, we will be hearing comments from some of the presidential candidates on it. I think they're going to just still keep saying civil unions are okay. And that's kind of basically, it's just about one and the same thing, but there are more benefits and responsibilities as well. Somebody wrote me a question. Does that mean that, remember, so Ellen DeGeneres has announced that she's getting married to Portia. Is her name Duraski or something like that, I think? Yeah. Anyway, so does that mean, since they have the same rights as heterosexual couples, does that mean that now Anne Hess, who was with her for such a long time, can come back and do a palimony thing? Because she may say, gosh, I gave her the lifestyle to which I became accustomed. Or, you know what I'm saying? I ruined all those years. I was so young and pretty, and I ruined all those years of being somebody with somebody else. I don't know. Anyway, I think it's fine. I see no problem with it. You know, I'm not going to try to change someone's religion or religious thinking about it. You know, a lot of people wrote, the Bible says it's a sin. It's a marriage is between a man and a woman. Okay, I get that. For me, if people are happy and they're in a loving relationship and they're committed and they're contributing to society and they're adopting children and they're helping them, and they're just good people. Whether they're heterosexual or homosexual, doesn't matter to me. You know, the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, used to have homosexuality as a mental disorder. Whatever. That's changed, of course. We've come out of the dark ages a little bit. But anyway, that's my comment on that. I just had a couple of emails on that asking me what I thought about it, and I just thought I'd share that information with you. Just as long as people are happy and they're good people, and you know, and you know, if they're willing to get married, and you know, there's a lot of responsibilities with it. There's a lot of issues. You're taking on a lot of stuff, and you have financials. You may want to do a prenup, just like straight couples. Whatever. There you go. So we're talking about rights. Rights of people. We're not talking about anything else. So that's what I say about that. Again, if you'd like to call me, let's see here. Number is 818-602-4498. Let's move on to some of the other questions because I'm kind of done talking about that. I've already discussed that in several of my emails and messages out there. And that's, you know, I say it's fine. It's good. You know, this California, we're very... open-minded here in this state, as you know. New York City, too. All righty, then. Let's answer the question here. I can't see this. Is it Jessica? Jessica. All right, Jessica. Dear Dr. Michelle, why do women find men who treat them badly? All righty. You know, I can't give you one particular answer to that, Jessica, because we all have our own reasons why we do things and why we get into relationships, why we choose partners to hurt us. Adolescent and young women, say under 25, they do have this preference. I see a lot of clients who come into my office and they are in a relationship with a bad guy. They're hurting their feelings. They're doing things that are not really wonderful, but they're thrilled and kind of excited by the bad guy if they treat him badly. Many times, a lot of young women have the need for it. And it's not because necessarily there's something really badly wrong with them. It's just, I think they see power and risk-taking behavior as a reassuring signs of strength. You know, because growing up, young men are taught, yeah, I'm strong and I'm powerful and I'm cool. And that's kind of the whole Of course, a lot of guys now are more emotional and touchy-feely and stuff. But, you know, a lot of young women see that power and risk-taking behavior as a sign of strength. And for as much as they really dig it, a lot of times they eventually outgrow it. There's a real significant change in women around their 30s in terms of their decisions in life, I think, what I've seen. Okay. The real issue is where they are psychologically, you know. So ladies, between puberty and early adult life, you're kind of anxious within about leaving home and finding your way in life. Remember all that? Are you there, Jessica? It sounds like you're there. I don't have your age. But I would be willing to think you're in your 20s, maybe mid-20s, around there. So there's kind of a lot of anxiety about leaving the home and finding your way in life and all that. And guys of the same sex age have less of such concern than women. You know, a young guy's bravado and abandon over dangerous pastimes can go a long way to just mellow her inner fears. You know what I'm saying? So if she's having issues about leaving home, she really wants to get out of the home and find her way in life, and then there's a strong guy that comes along that appears to be strong, but he has kind of risky behavior, but he's kind of sexy and is all that stuff. So it can kind of make her feel like, ooh, maybe I am going to be taken care of because this guy is exhibiting strength behaviors. He's showing that he's got it together, and he's I think the real and scary risks are really well known to her unconscious. I'm getting a little psychodynamic here. But they have a little access to her waking mind. Yet. Now, I'm not saying that young women are not awake and aware and all that stuff. I think young women are generally a little more sophisticated than young men. And middle-aged men and older men and all that. I think it just takes us sometimes. Well, we're more emotional. We go there. But men do have better coping skills, by the way. So a bad guy can dupe a young woman into believing his invulnerability. I'm strong. I'm not vulnerable. I can do anything. And he could also believe his own myth. You know, he can also think, I really have my act together. I'm not vulnerable. I can take on the world. I can do anything. Well, that's, of course, what a lot of, you know, adolescents and young adults, you know, and great. I think it's great. Because that's what keeps us going and a forceful, you know, a power out there in the world. So these things, you know, like the root fear of leaving home for a young woman, they're really not known to her conscious mind, I don't think, sometimes. I just think it's kind of like strength and security and safety to another step out of strength, security, and safety. But it's really not. It's the guy's exhibiting the strength and I've got it together and all that. And a lot of times the young women's conscious experience is full of thrill and excitement with his triumph in the world and reckless and dangerous situations. Am I ringing a bell here for you, Jessica? Am I talking about the guy you're involved with or were? Sounds kind of like you still are. Or maybe he hurt you and you're maybe done with it. Okay. So, you know, sometimes it's proof that with this kind of guy, a young woman might be safe and out of harm's way because she's now protected. She's into a new groove. And in time, she's probably going to realize that it helped her to get a taste, you know, of being out there and leave the secure nest of the home. Kind of got her out there. And, you know, this happens a lot in clients. This is what I see a lot. But then at a later time, many of these women, like you, Jessica, look back and laugh and usually kind of with an inner sense of what it all meant. You know, this is why you often hear, you know, ladies who've been through this kind of sharing together with comic tales of the bad guys that they've had relationships with that they've once found seductive. You know, we do joke about that. Oh, I got to tell you, I had the worst relationship. I have to tell you about this guy when I was stupid in 24. You know, we all have those kind of stories. So the preference for rough males. I'm talking about the guys who are not really not nice guys who aren't, you know, more emotionally stable and who are very narcissistic and about satisfying their needs and doing what they need and flirting with other women and sneaking around and then you keep taking them back because he apologizes and all that. So the preference for these kind of guys should end somewhere in the mid-late 20s. So what we do many times with young women is we have this longing for a warrior. That's what I call it. And then it matures into kind of a high regard for a guy's sense of purpose and his power to stay focused. And it just kind of turns into a special fondness for guys who are more responsible. Because, of course, a lot of ladies are getting more responsible, too, and going, oh, my goodness, I'm really tired of feeling hurt. I'm tired of feeling down. I'm tired of this. So, on the other hand, Jessica, if you're the kind of lady who chronically wants rough treatment in your life, you have a problem. You know, what's normal, even healthy for a teenager or a young adult is probably not healthy for a young woman, say, past her mid-20s. Because if you're looking for shabby treatment or pain, you keep taking them back, you keep taking them back, you keep forgiving them, and you keep, well, maybe next time, you're fooling yourself. Okay? Because it's just not healthy to do that. If you want to be a masochist and oh, poor me, and tell all your friends, then that's maybe where you're at. Anyway, sometimes this is a little deep, too deep for me, but I'll just say kind of seeking shabby treatment all the time. Its unhealthy goal is usually to relieve unconscious guilt. Somewhere in your past, Jessica, maybe you feel you deserve being treated badly. You got some unresolved guilt. Not because you did anything. No, you were brought up to be made to be felt or feeling guilty. That's maybe what that's all about. So I would suggest you maybe explore that. Go, you know, go get some professional help. If you cannot get rid of, you find yourself continually in this relationship where this guy keeps hurting you, or you keep picking guys who are bad for you and are hurting you, you need to take a look at why you're doing that. On the radio this morning, I was also listening to another talk show host who was saying that he's been married. He's a serial marrier. And he was complaining about all the women who mistreated him. And I'm thinking, after the fourth marriage, dude, come on now. They can't all be wrong. Maybe you got to take a look at yourself. Maybe you got to take a look at what your problem is. Because you keep finding these women who mistreat you. He was making jokes about, you know, being held down by their stiletto heels and, you know, they take his credit card. And I get that, but why is he picking these women? There's something about you, maybe, guy, that makes you feel a little more powerful, that you can control them with your credit cards. You know, maybe they were trophy wives or whatever. But that you know, after the fourth wife, you got to take a look at yourself and your choices and what you're doing to cause the problems. Or you just might be narcissistic and wanting to move on continuously. And or going through a midlife crisis and will never really fix it. Okay. So here's the deal. Jessica, just kind of take a look at why you are attracting this guy and why you're with him, and look at yourself and why you need to stay in this relationship. You know, the thrill of danger with somebody like this, it's real exciting and sometimes can be healthy. You got to get out there. You got to have a life. But find someone who's a little more stable. Find someone who's going to treat you nicely, who's going to appreciate you for who you are. So, and look at your role in complaining to your friends about how badly you're hurt and how sad he makes you. Why do you need to do that? Do you need more attention? Just get rid of him. That's all. You know? And if you want excitement and danger and all that, pick a really loving, wonderful guy who respects you. And then go mountain climbing or, you know, skiing or skydiving with him. If you want some personal risk, take some personal. Yeah, that's exciting. Not the emotional drama. Sublimate it into some physical, fun, exciting things. The key idea in Matters of the Heart is how much thrill over danger the relationship wants. So you have to use your own good judgment to decide if you want too much of the wild side in a relationship. And chances are that if your preferences make you anxious, when you'd be wise to move on to somebody who wants more of your tenderness and less of your power, that's the thing to do. You've got to just make a good choice. Did I help you out, Katie? No, her name's Jessica. Katie's the next lady. So, Jessica, did that help you a little bit? Hopefully, take a look at why you're hanging on to this guy or have hung on to old relationships that are bad like that. Keep taking a look at that, okay? Maybe get some professional help. Talk to somebody who can help you out. That'd be great. Oh, and I was reading a report here. Here's a news thing among violent and bad guys. Just a side note, and then I'll get on to, was that Katie's thing? Yeah, okay. Domestic violence among men may stem from repressed emotions. So we're looking at the guys now. Okay? So maybe take a look at this guy and how he's handled stuff in the past. If you even want to go there. If he's not a good guy. An Ohio State University study finds abusive men, verbally and physically, were likely to see stressful circumstances as personally threatening while they attempted to repress emotional responses or avoid the situation. And then when issues surfaced with their partners, violent men were more likely to feel threatened than their non-violent counterparts. So there's a feeling of more defensiveness and being threatened. And men who felt threatened and avoided conflict were 8 times more likely than others to commit some kind of domestic violence. Major verbal abuse, major physical abuse. Came out in the Journal of Health and Social Behavior. So it's about avoiding conflict and feeling threatened. So all the stuff's repressed inside. That's the classic definition of, you know, repression. We're holding things in. So you put it out on somebody who you finally, you know, have committed to, or someone who seems to want to be with you, and then you can just blow them away, and that's the way it is. So that's just a study thing that I thought I'd let you know about. Okay, another question here. What do we have, Katie? Do I want to take that one? Do I like that one? All righty. What can I do to keep my last relation from interfering with my next one? That's a common question I get. Because, you know, we have some bad relationships. And you know, we knee-jerk. We have these reactions to things normally because we're used to being either hurt or, you know, all the old issues that came up in our old relationships. We tend to go into the next relationship a little bit paranoid, which is probably a good thing, especially if it was a bad relationship, because then you're going to be more alert and aware, hopefully. So, what can you do to keep your last relation from interfering with your next one? Take a break to deal with your feeling of hurt or anger. Take a break. Sometimes it's not good to just jump into the next relationship. If you had a bad relationship and you were hurt, and I'm not necessarily referring to the bad guy that I was talking about a little bit earlier. I'm just talking about feeling, you know, kind of hurt and stuff and fearing that you might be stepped on or you might be with somebody who's just not right for you again. So my idea, don't jump into a relationship right away. Take some downtime to explore yourself and why you chose that other person. Okay? And then what you do, Katie, is you wait for the negative feelings to give way to a leisurely openness to someone new. So you're not putting out that desperate vibe. Gotta find somebody. That's kind of like the person that has to fill you up because you're not enough for who you are alone. So I always suggest to people who have bad relationships to take a lot of downtime, go within themselves, and kind of learn a lot about who they are on their own. Live alone. Make your life for yourself. Go out there and support yourself. Get social. Get some self-esteem about who you are. Start dating slowly. Take time to like you before you can go out and get somebody else. Because if you don't take time to really appreciate who you are and have self-respect, then you're going to draw someone to you who's not going to give you that. Okay. So your next relation, Katie, can prosper by what you can learn about yourself in the time after your last one. The next guy in your life will want to see the finer side of you. So I would really suggest for you to go to work on releasing your last relation to the past. Put it in a box. Put it in a mental box. You know, go through some of the feelings, the hurt or the anger, deal with it, get it out, be done with it. What did you learn from that? Write it down and remind yourself, what did I learn from this bad relationship? What did I learn? Okay, and then move on. And the next guy in your life will want to see the finer side of you. You see? Recall what was good and satisfying about the old relationship. Now, what was good about it? There's got to be a few things that were good about it. Write those down, too. Those are the things you want. These are the things I want. That's the goal. And when you see those things in someone else, then you can define, that's exactly what I want. Okay? Now, the bad stuff that I've already told you to write down that you don't want, treat the dark side of it as something that you're parting with. And just look at it without blaming the guy who hurt you. Just look at it like, okay, didn't work. You know, for a while you're going to go, he was a jerk. God, what a net. Yeah, of course. You're angry. You're hurt. But look at it as like you're mourning. It's a mourning. It's a passing. And the next guy will sense your feelings towards your last lover if you keep putting it out there. You know, you're gonna show hesitation. You're going to show paranoia. You're going to show all these things and unsureness. You don't want to do that when you're trying to find somebody new. You want to be open and respectful to yourself. But that person, the next guy, is going to sense. And you know what? If you want to share with new people that you've had some bad relationships, but you're working on finding out why and going into a healthier relationship, that's great. That's a great way to start out communication between someone new who might be nice for you. Because they're thinking, whoa, this person has enough self-respect to get help and work on themselves and take responsibility maybe for why they chose a bad relationship. And Katie, he'll be glad to see that you cherish what was good about the old relationship. He'll admire you for releasing your negative feelings too. Be done with it. So he doesn't have to deal with it, the new guy. Your next lover will become anxious that he's not getting enough of you if he feels that you're still in the midst of a strong negative vibe from the past. You have to release the old crap before you can move on to the new stuff. That's really a very, you know, basic psychological concept. Before you move on to anything, whether it be a new relationship, before you decide to have children, before you decide to get a new job, before you have to release old stuff so you can get rid of it and be on into the new and deal with changes in a healthy manner. Katie, when he sees the majority of your energy is going towards him, he's going to be eager to draw you on with his kindness, emotional richness, respect, and all that good stuff. So basically, to paraphrase what I've said, take some downtime, find out what went wrong in the relationship, and don't carry it into the next relationship with you. Take some downtime and explore yourself a little bit and why it was wrong, why it didn't work. Process it, maybe talk to somebody professional and get on with it. And define exactly what you don't want in a relationship. Write it down. Look at it. And define exactly what you do want. Sometimes we have to keep reminding ourselves these things so we can, you know, move on and have healthier relationships. And that's the way it goes. So hopefully I helped you on that one, Katie. All right. Oh gosh. I've got an email from a guy. Sean says, "Dear Dr. Michelle, what do women really want from men? Do you have 10 hours? Give me some time, Sean, to answer that one for you. You know, almost every woman wants you to see her as being beautiful. So, Sean, I take it that you're asking me, what do women really want from men? Because you're moving into a relationship with somebody or you've had some bad relationships and you're just confused. And I get that. So a lot of women, you know, we see our inner beauty and outward beauty or just who we are as just beginning. It's important that a lot of women feel that the larger part of our beauty is in our emotional makeup and personality. You know, you see all these beautiful women in magazines, on television, all these beautiful people. That's just a small little tip of the icing. You can't, if you're not okay with who you are in your heart, it's not going to matter. Some of my clients are the most beautiful, gorgeous women, but they're so messed up inside about kind of who they are, and that's so sad. So what you have to do, if you're kind of confused about what women want from you, it's really important for you to convey that you are attracted to them, but also that you really respect them emotionally and who they are inside. And also, take an interest. A woman sees herself more in psychic terms than a guy, Sean. Women want your eyes to enjoy how they look, and they want much more than your eyes will move on to the larger attractions that they feel are within. They don't want just the outwards. They want you to see them for a really loving, cool, interesting, funny person. So you have to show that. Women want your interest. And women are going to base their trust in you on how much and how well your attention moves from how they look to what she's like as a person. Of course, if you're not attracted to somebody, Sean, you're not going to go for them anyway. So there's got to be a little bit of attraction. Okay? A lot of women, you know, sometimes they see their inner world as the most beautiful and enduring thing about themselves. A lot of women, you know, it takes a while. We got to work on ourselves. And Sean, if you have a sense for a lady's emotional life, you will win a lot of favor in her eyes and quickly. A lot of women see our greatest gift in the way that, you know, we can enrich and uplift a guy's life too. A woman wants lovemaking to enter after she's confident that you have some sense of what it means to feel her feelings. You know? Women kind of know what their emotional energy can do to men. They know what it means to be the main event in a man's life. Yeah, women do manipulate men. They do. It's very true. It's called testosterone. You know? That's okay. But that's so why it's so important to women that you appreciate how they experience themselves, Sean. So the more you connect with what you do to her feelings, the more she's going to light up your life with all of her winning ways, whatever they may be. You know what I'm saying? So they need more than just your appreciation of what they're like and how they look. They want to have a man's sense of strong purpose and focus in their lives as well. And a lot of women need this because their emotions can easily take off and make them feel off center or without balance. And a lot of women long for how your support makes them feel more together. So if you're more balanced, you know, guys do that. We balance each other off. Guys are due, got to take care of, make things work, and take care of business. Straightforward, let's see how we're going to take care of business right now. How can I fix this? That's the man's mantra. A woman's mantra is, oh my God, I feel horrible about this. I need to talk to somebody. So here we go, Sean. Women want to fill your life with themselves and their color. This is
my metaphor.
They want to have your guy ways and your masculinity firmly in their lives. See, and if you, however, are strong and yet open and share feelings sometimes. I'm talking about a guy who's like a mess, falling all over the place. I'm talking about appreciating her emotionally and being safe enough to share stuff with her, appreciating her for what she's about. That's a really, you know, that's a really good way to understand what women want from you. All righty? I think that's a really valid question. And for all you guys out there trying to figure out what women are about and saying, oh my God, what does she want from me? I'm going insane. Just kind of listen, you know, to that. And that'll help you out a little bit. And everybody's different, but that is a generalization. You know what I'm talking about? All right. And you also can write me, as Sean did, and as Katie did, and as Jessica did. DocMichelle@AOL.com. That's my email address, of course. Yeah, my website is drmichelletherapy.com, drmichelletherapy.com. And I talk about positive life changes and how you can make those changes. It's cognitive, but it's also looking in the past. It's behavioral. It's taking changes, changing your behaviors towards other people, taking responsibility for that. And that's what a lot of it is about. And one of my favorite sayings is that I like to detox the drama from your life. Detox, because in so many cases, in these bad relationships, you know, that I was just reading about from Jessica, who wrote me, and clients and many people in the past, there is kind of an addiction to drama and anger and problems and feeling hurt, and there's an addiction to being a victim sometimes. It just kind of feels comfortable, even though it's kind of unhealthy. So it's really important for you to detox the drama in your life. And you have to take a look at why you continue to have those, you know, negative relationships. Why you keep seeking those relationships. And that's the way it is. Okay. Now I'm trying to decide whether to give you this personality quiz. Couple of weeks ago, I interviewed Sam, the man in the morning. And I gave him a personality quiz. We talked about what certain things meant. He answered me and I told him what he was about. And he looked at me like I was crazy. But actually, actually, he said, you know what? That's interesting. So what I thought I'd do is we're going to do a little theater of the mind here. And I'm going to do a relation personality quiz. How's that? I also did a superhero test on Sam. And I asked him which superhero ability he would like to choose. And immediately, without me even giving him choices, he said, I want to fly. So we can maybe do the superhero profile, too, if we have a little bit of time, because I did get some responses about that. But Dr. Michelle, I want invisibility. What's that about? That's the superpower I want, and that freaks me out because it's kind of creepy. I can just say that right here. So we'll talk about maybe which superhero ability you would choose. Maybe we can ask TJ McCormick when he comes in. Ew, that'd be fun. And then I can shrink him. Okay, let's do this personality quiz real fast. And I want you to just go with me. Go with me. And I want you to maybe write down your answers. Or just go with it mentally as we're talking. And then I'm going to tell you what you're thinking. All right, imagine yourself in a forest or a jungle. Right now, you're out there in the forest or jungle. Yes, I know. You live in Los Angeles. You are in the... It's crazy here. It's a jungle. You're in New York City. Anyway, okay, you're in a forest or a jungle. What's the first animal you see? Quick, what's the first animal you see? What is it? A tiger? A birdie? What is it? And supposedly, whatever your answer to this question is, it symbolizes the reflection of your life. Now, that's some heavy stuff. That's the reflection of your life. So if you imagined a lion in the jungle, okay, that's the reflection of your life. You're strong. You take over. Arr! You're the king. On the other hand, if you imagined a monkey hanging in a tree, maybe you're playful. Maybe you go with the flow of life. You survive because monkeys have skills. Okay, so there's number one. Number two. Imagine you're in a forest or jungle again. What's the second animal you see? Think about that quick. Don't start analyzing yourself. When you start analyzing yourself, then you get in trouble. This is the first thing you think of. Boom. Because the answer to this question symbolizes the character of your life partner. Okay? So if you're out there and you're visualizing a big pig... snorting around. Alrighty then. That's trouble. That's big time trouble. So that's the second animal you see supposedly symbolizes the character of your life partner. Okay. So you know, just kind of symbolize that. Do you see a lioness? Do you see a tiger? Do you see a monkey? Again, monkeys are cool. They're funny. They're flexible. They survive. They use tools. They eat poop. I don't know. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist myself. I just had to say that. All right, here we go. Third question. All right.
Imagine yourself
in a forest or jungle. Imagine now there is a hut in front of you. A hut in the jungle. Do you pass the hut? Do you knock before going in? Or do you rush in? Depends on who's chasing you, I guess, huh? Okay. Imagine now that there is a hut in front of you. What do you do? Pass it, knock before going in, or rush in? You got that? All right. Walking past means that you're not ready for relationships, according to this so-called personality test. Knocking before entering means that you're ready for relationships. I'm knocking on the door of opportunity. Rushing in means that you're desperate. Or like I said, it depends on what's chasing you in the jungle. These are fun personality tests, okay? It's the personality quiz fun test site. All right, here we go. All right. Now, imagine yourself inside the hut. And there are 20 candles in it. 20 candles sitting around the hut. It's dark. You just came in from the jungle. How many of the candles will you light up? This question is about your generosity, supposedly. The more candles you light up, the more generous you are. Okay, and I want you to give these answers in your head right away. Don't analyze. Don't, ooh, well, if I say I'm lighting two candles, what does that mean? Okay. Now you see a table inside the hut. Is that table square or round? What is it? Quick. All right, if the table is square, that means you're a little more stubborn. Means you're a little more inflexible. If the table is round, it means that you're more of a flexible person. It's symbolism, folks. All right, number 6. How many chairs do you see around the table inside the hut that you've rushed or walked into? How many chairs? Quick. All right, this actually shows your hospitality. The more chairs you have, the better. You're more hospitable. You're more social. That's a good thing. Here we go. Now you're still inside the hut, and there's a jug on the table. What material is the jug made of? What material is the jug made of? Not what's in the jug. Right. Hooch. Vodka. No. What material is the jug made of? All right. This refers to the material of your heart, supposedly. Very interesting. Is it a plastic jug? My jug was just kind of a... Well, you're going into a hut in the jungle, so it's got to probably be an old jug. It's a real thick old wooden jug. Thick old wooden heart. That's kind of creepy. All right. Let's see. All right, now you're in the hut, and you've got the jug. And how much water is inside that jug? How much water is inside that jug? This refers to the amount of love that you're going to give to others, particularly your partner. How much water did you see inside the jug? Just a little bit? Was it just real empty? That's kind of negative thinking. Oh, I'm going into a new environment, and I'm not going to have any water to survive. Negative thinking. No water. Half full, three quarters full, totally full. The amount of love you're going to give to others and your partner, that's what that means. They didn't say half empty. I kind of like that. All right, let's see, here we go. All right, you stepped out of the hut now. You're back into the jungle and you start walking. And you reach a beautiful waterfall. You see this gorgeous waterfall. Woo! Wow, isn't this awesome? Yeah. So I want to ask you, how fast is that waterfall flowing? You look at that waterfall, you're out into the jungle again, you're, oh, wow, this is like a breath of fresh air. It's beautiful. So from 1 to 9, 1 is the slowest and 9 is the fastest. I want you to tell me, how fast is the waterfall? How fast is this beautiful waterfall? The speed refers to your sex drive. I'm not going to tell you mine. Yes, that waterfall was flowing. All right. How many swans are there near the waterfall? Oh, there's swans. Oh, how neat. There's really pretty swans swimming around that waterfall. How many are there? Cool. Let's see. This means the number of swans symbolize the number of best friends you have. If you can count a best friend on one hand, you're doing great. If you have one best friend, you're doing great. How many swans are there in the waterfall? All right. And last, certainly not least, now you've reached the riverbank and your destination is just opposite the riverbank. How do you cross over that riverbank? Do you jump into the river and swim across? Or do you find another way to cross? Looking around. Here's the riverbank. I've got to cross it. Looking around, what am I going to do? Do you jump into the river and swim across, or you find another way to cross? And if you have another solution besides A and B, I don't have the answer for you because this is a fun test. Okay, if you jump into the water and you swim across that river, it means sometimes you can be impulsive and you act without thinking. But if you find another way to cross, you're looking around and you're going to say, maybe let's see if I can put some sticks together. You're creating, maybe I'm going to see how far down the river goes. Maybe I can throw some huge stones and then I can cross on them. That means that you think before you act. Well, that's what it says here. This is the Reflection of Life Relational Psychology Personality Quiz on Personality Quiz Fun Test Site. Doesn't mean it's necessarily empirical. It just gives you stuff to think about, which is kind of fun sometimes in our lives. And before TJ comes in, I want to also do a quickie on what superhero ability you choose, since we have just a couple of minutes. So I was telling Sam, the man, in the morning show, that the reason why he chose the ability to fly is because he likes to see the big picture of life and how things fit together. And that's what he's about. Little details annoy him. You enjoy being free and taking risks. And if you're a flying person, there's a no-brainer there. In your career, clue, you make a good pilot or astronaut. Or you consider a job that will let you affect policies, maybe in government, or a public research group or something like that. Taking control, seeing the overview, the big picture, how things fit together. So that's what being a superhero and wanting to fly symbolizes. Okay. Now, a couple of other folks have emailed me and said, I want the ability to time travel. That's the superhero quality I would like to choose. That's kind of cool. I didn't even think of that one. If you would like to time travel, it says you're interested in the causes of things and how past mistakes can be used to shape the future. You're very curious about how different people live. Duh. And if you're looking maybe for a career clue, if you really would like to be a superhero, thank y'all, who can do some time travel, a career in scientific research, history, or human behavior might be the place for you. And that means you might enjoy a job where you can affect the future, where you can change things, affect the future, help folks out. Another biggie, and this is my kind of superhero power I would choose, is being invisible. Now, that's kind of creepy, isn't it? Yeah, watching people do stuff. You know, spying on people. Well, it says you tend to be shy or a very keen observer. You like to know everything that's going on around you, and you like to analyze what's going on around you. In other words, you can take yourself out and be an observer, and then you talk about it and analyze it. Isn't that kind of what a shrink does? Yeah, I think that kind of fits. It says you can be a therapist, possibly for your career. You could be a writer who observes. You could also be a private investigator. Well, that's a no-brainer, too, because a lot of private investigators said they stay invisible. They take pictures. That'd be kind of weird, though. For you who wrote me and said you wanted to have X-ray vision, that's really kind of creepy for me. X-ray vision, You like to see through problems and go to the heart of an issue. You enjoy finding problems that other people can't even see. You also enjoy solving problems. So for those of you superheroes who would like to have X-ray vision, it says the career clue would be to enter physics, math, medicine. They're all fields that need skilled problem solvers. And that's the truth. That certainly is the truth. What else? The ability to read minds. That was another one. Okay, what does that mean? Mind reading. You're good at guessing what other people think. You can see behind what they're saying by reading between the lines. If you're the kind of person who would like to read minds, you have a lot of good of intuition, it says. And your career clue is you might be a good counselor or psychologist. That's interesting. Oh, I have a question for you, TJ.
Yeah.
It's important for professionals in those careers to understand how other people think and feel. All right, I have a superhero profile. Mm-hmm. And if you had a superhero, desire, what would it be,
a
honey?
Superhero desire?
Yeah, what it would, flying. Time travel. Really? Yeah, flying. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Super hearing, seeing into the future, reading minds.
A combination of time travel and flying.
Okay, cool. And that means you and Sam are very similar in that way because he said he wanted to fly.
Ah, there you go.
And that means you like to see the big picture of life and how things fit together.
Okay, yeah.
Little details annoy you sometimes. You enjoy being free and taking risks.
True. Okay. Yeah, kind of. No, okay. Free, yes. Taking risks, no.
No? Okay. Yeah, I think you're a risk kind of guy.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Nah.
I think you're kind of out there.
I guess I take risks.
Every day of your life here for 2 hours live on the radio.
Yeah, broadcasting wise. Yeah, I take risks because what I'm convinced is funny. Yeah.
You are funny.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what I mean, you know.
And what was your other one?
Flying.
Oh, well, no.
Time travel.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Yeah.
Time travel says that you're interested in the causes of things and how past mistakes can be used to shape the future.
Okay,
you're very
yeah.
curious about how different people live. You have interest in other people.
Yes. So. Yeah. Oh, yes. No, I'm fascinated. I like to, and you know what's interesting about the flying thing is one thing I have not experienced in such a long time, and I used to experience it a lot, was the flying dreams.
Wow.
I used to experience those a lot, I haven't in a bunch of years. Mm-hmm, I actually grade the level of my creativity and my serenity with the recurrence of my
flying dreams. Interesting. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's really, that's significant. The way we dream. So.
And I miss that. I miss that. I used to be able to soar in my dreams.
Oh, I hear you.
Yeah. I flew. I could accelerate. I could decelerate. I knew the city over which I was flying. I would.
Wow.
I knew where I was. Yeah. I was quite a vivid flying dreamer.
That's really good.
Yeah.
That's,
I'm hoping that happens again. It hasn't
it probably will. And maybe before you go to sleep at night, think about making yourself fly. You know, you go into that state of consciousness before you go into sleep of picturing yourself and free, being more free and just allowing for changes, being less rigid, and then you probably will start flying again. I used to breathe underwater a lot in my dreams. I could breathe underwater. Just like I'm completely immune to anything, and I have gills. Don't have those gills no more, baby.
No,
haven't been doing that
funky
for a
while.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'll let you wrap
up. All right, baby.
That was fun.
Just thought I'd whip that on you.
That was fun.
That was fun. And this was fun today, everybody. Thank you, TJ Doll. All righty, bud. I'm going to get out of here. This is Dr. Michelle. And thank you for being on my couch, as we always are here, 11 a.m. on Fridays, on the couch with Dr. Michelle. Find me at my website. You can do that. It's drmichelletherapy.com. Michelle with two L's, therapy.com. You have yourself a wonderful day. And stay tuned for TJ. He's got a great show coming up, as always, for you. And just take care of yourself, please. Let me know how you feel. Have a good one. Bye-bye. Come back here so I can get your name.
Stay tuned for TJ. Don't go nowhere. Stay tuned in 3, 2, 1. Buzz.